You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and heading into the Glasgow Climate Summit, there's been a lot of talk about our emission reductions targets, and South Australia this week announced a more ambitious target for the next 9 years, 50% reduction in carbon emissions. I'm joined by Minister for Environment and Water, David Spears. David, thanks for joining me today.
Good morning, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
So how different is our approach over the next 9 years going to be if we are aiming for 50% emissions reductions?
We actually made this announcement in February 2020, but what we announced this week was that we're going to legislate this. We're going to lock it in as an ambitious goal, a goal to action to get South Australian government, businesses and communities and individuals to really drive towards this goal of 50% reductions on 2005 emissions by 2030. So it's a bit of a mouthful there. But in terms of transition, we know that our energy transition is going exceptionally well. So we'll be, by 2030, 100% renewable energy production, give or take. So we're very confident the energy side of things is in hand. The trajectory there is really good. But where we need to concentrate a lot of our effort now is transitions around transportation and freight, moves towards electric vehicles, hydrogen vehicles or offsets, supporting agricultural production to lower their emissions as well.
Having spoken to the RAA about, because you did mention electric vehicles, a good move for the state government could be to electrifying the fleet of government vehicles being used, because then, of course, the flow-on effect of used cars previously owned by government officials being moved into the market. Is that something that the state government are looking at doing?
So we've made a commitment to doing that very thing. So over the next couple of years, we will be transitioning the whole fleet to electrical or electric vehicles. Now, the RAA are exactly right. The turnover of government vehicles is much higher than the turnover in the general community, and that then results in a second-hand market. Most cars that are bought are second-hand, so it creates a greater penetration of electric vehicles into the community and makes them more affordable because they've got a reduced value as well. So that's a key part of this transition, getting a second-hand market going so that electric vehicles aren't just for the privileged few.
And so you did say that the state government will be working on legislation to achieve the 2030 50% reduction target. What are the benefits of legislating things to achieve these goals?
We think by transferring these goals into legislation that we'll be able to create a bit more focus amongst leaders at all levels of government and particularly the business community. Large part of this work now falls to the private sector. Government has been driving this and enabling this for some years, but this is a market-led process, whether it's innovating new products and approaches or undertaking big transitions in the mining industry and things like that. What we've shown in recent years is that we can decouple economic growth from emissions reduction. In the past, it was then, I'm talking 10, 15 years ago, it was thought that you couldn't do this without really messing up your economy because it was all so expensive. But actually, South Australia has shown that we can push our emissions down dramatically while also still seeing economic growth.
The federal government have said that they're not going to shift their goalposts of 26 to 28% emission reductions target by 2030. Given that Australia, like you said, is aiming for 100% renewable power by that time frame, are we expecting to surpass our 50% emissions reduction target?
I think we'll get there, or we might slightly surpass it. Our modelling shows that there's a bit of work to be done. And we do have to really push very hard in this area, particularly around the transport, the agriculture, the waste management. The energy production, because of South Australia's huge penetration of solar and wind, really over the last 15 years or so, that is all going very well for us.
For sure. And I guess in the immediate future, what projects are on the horizon for, I guess, the next couple of years to try and get the ball rolling even further?
Well, one area that we are The two areas that I've sort of flagged are transport and agriculture. Now, in the transport area, with the government's rolling out an electric vehicle charging network to give people confidence that in the more regional parts of the state, they can charge electric vehicles. A lot of people don't move towards electric vehicles because they assume one day when they're doing that trip to Coober Pedy, which they may never do, but in the back of their minds they will, they don't want to be stuck by the roadside. So we want to fill the gaps in the network across the state. So we're working on that at the moment. And in the agricultural space, an amazing body of work is being undertaken by our primary industries department here in South Australia and the private sector around feeding livestock seaweed, a type of seaweed feed, and that can reduce the methane that comes from our livestock by up to 90%. So that research is happening right here in South Australia. It's going well, and we reckon we'll kick some goals on that front.
And I understand you'll be addressing leaders around climate action with via video chat this week. What's what are you expecting to announce or discuss on the global scale?
So I'll be representing South Australia virtually. Can't get over to the UK because of the international border situation, but it's a privilege for me to be able to speak to world leaders about South Australia's journey, the good and the bad, the challenges we've had along the way with the fragility of our electricity grid and obviously the blackout in 2016. I think we should own that. We should talk about the challenges we've faced, but now we have really got that significant grid stability. We've got lots of storage options and we've got a pathway towards 100% renewables when it comes to energy production. We're ahead of many, many places in the world. We've got a good story to share and I'm really looking forward to sharing that story with jurisdictions from all across the world, albeit on the big screen in Glasgow rather than there, practicing my Scottish accent in person.
And just finally, considering we have had the federal government commit to 2050 being the net zero target, not necessarily introducing anything different, and having spoken with Rowan Ramsey, the federal member for Grey, yesterday, they're not looking to legislate anything on their end to achieve their targets. How do you respond? What was your reaction to the announcement made by the Prime Minister this week on net zero by 2050?
I was very pleased to hear that announcement because I think it's good that all Australian states now have an ambitious target in place and are heading towards 2050. And so that just means we are working forward coherently as a nation. We can share resources, ideas and leadership. And at the end of the day, a lot of this work actually doesn't happen at federal level. The action is at subnational level, so in the states and the territories. That's where a lot of the levers are around climate policy and activity on the ground. So I'm pleased the federal government has moved in this direction, but also pleased that South Australia's had its house in order for some time.
No worries. Well, Minister, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries at all. Thank you, Jordan.
That was Minister for Environment and Water, David Spears, on your Classic It's Breakfast.